Welcome to the Brain Gain Youngstown Leadership Series podcast. Each week, we'll learn from leaders who are driving change and making an impact. Now here's your host, the CEO of the Youngstown Publishing Company, Jeff Leo Herman. I got the courage in me, let go and let it release.
Don't stop from feeling it, it's time for me to break the stone. Hello and welcome to the Brain Gain Youngstown Leadership Series podcast. Thank you for joining us today. I have the extra special pleasure of introducing our guest, Lieutenant Governor John Husted of Ohio. He shares his leadership experiences and how he sets and maintains high standards and excellence in all that he does. So without further ado, please welcome Lieutenant Governor Husted. Lieutenant Governor, thank you for joining us today on the Brain Gain Youngstown Leadership Podcast.
Great to be with you. Always good to talk about some of my favorite topics: education, talent, how you grow an economy, and how you lift people up all at the same time.
Absolutely. And 2020 actually has been quite a leadership opportunity, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you ever think you'd log so much TV time as you have in this past year?
No, it was not the plan. But look, I often say this, it's like, look, if you want to lead, you got to make decisions and be accountable for them, and be willing to change your mind if new information comes available. Be flexible, know what you're trying to accomplish, be clear, articulate your goals, and don't be afraid to lead.
I mean, you exactly.
Decisions are going to get made. Whether indecision is a decision.
Exactly.
You just be accountable, be firm, think, talk to as many people as you can. And I really don't be afraid to adjust course if things aren't going right.
Well, that's good. And I can tell you, there's a newfound statewide pride. Are you sensing a newfound statewide pride through this pandemic? I feel like the state has really been brought together because of the consistent communication and the decisive action that's been taken. Is that something you're feeling as well?
Well, you know, I hope so. It's always hard to know. I will tell you, I think Governor DeWine has stepped up as a leader, and I get it. Some people are not going to agree with his decisions, but he has not been afraid for a second to own his decisions and to make decisions. And I can tell you behind the scenes, I don't know if I've ever been around a leader who sought more information.
Right.
And I say from my point of view, I'm not interested in being right. I'm interested in getting it right.
Right.
Which means, just because I come to a conclusion, I'm always open to listen to people about how we can do it better. We try to work that way.
Good. Well, listening is a key to leadership. And before we get into your philosophy on leadership here today, I want to step back a minute. As a child, what did you want to be when you grew up? What did you aspire to do?
Well, if it was baseball season, I was going to be a professional baseball player. If it was basketball season, I was going to be a professional basketball player. If it was football season, I was going to be a professional football player. And, I played in college at the University of Dayton, had a great time there as a player, ended up winning the national championship my senior year, those were just such great character building opportunities and moments and a lot of fun. But then I realized, at some point in time, I wasn't going to be in the NFL. So I started to coach. But I will tell you that it's good to have dreams and to pursue those dreams, but you always should be open to the next opportunity, because literally every job I've taken, I think this way my whole life. I never thought that the next job I would have after that really was the job that I would have had. I mean, you just do a good job, is my advice, is do a good job with the opportunities you have do a good job with the job you have, and the opportunities will follow.
Absolutely. Was there someone you looked up to as a youth, say in your teenage years, someone you aspired to be, a local, national, global leader?
Well, look, I was adopted, and my dad was someone I always looked up to, not for the simple reason that he just had a great work ethic, and he worked hard, and, two jobs a lot of times, and he never sat still. He always did things with us as a family and worked, you know, and just a great role model of, you know, somebody that, you know, just, you know, dropped out of high school, went back, finished, just showed that you can make it in life if you're willing to work hard. So he was a great role model. And then I would say my coaches, my athletic coaches in that phase of life, were good ones. You know, I had a lot of good role models there, who believed in me, encouraged me. But I've been somebody my whole life that, you know, it's not one person I look to. It's like every time I'd see somebody that was successful, like, why were they successful? You know, what is it about them? Whether it was a competitor of my in my own age group or somebody who was older, somebody maybe much older. It's like, why were they successful? And I always try to draw from that.
That's good. Was there something specific, say something you learned from, you know, team sports, right? And the ability to collaborate at an early age, you know, it's all about teamwork, right? And these days I feel that our society is getting a little ahead of itself around individual rewards. It's Coach Tressel or President Tressel said yesterday, the problem with youth sports today is the focus is on the reward system and not the values that, you know, youth sports can give you.
Yeah. Well, I think it's both. It's, you know, collective accountability requires personal accountability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it goes both ways is that you're accountable to your teammates, but everyone on that team has to do their part. You know, if you want to be stronger than everybody else, then you got to spend time in the weight room. It just doesn't, you don't drink it out of a bottle. If you want to be faster than everybody else, you got to be out there doing sprints. If you want to, be a better receiver, then you've got to, you know, go out and catch some passes. You want to shoot the basketball, you got to spend time. It's like, that's what sports teach you is that it's the great equalizer. It's a great tool of meritocracy. And that, yes, we're all given different God-given talents, but those who are willing to invest the time and effort can achieve beyond what others can do, even people who may be more gifted. If you have a big heart and you make a commitment to things, you can out-duel your competitors. And then, though, after you've developed yourself personally, you realize that, hey, if you really want to win, though, those who collaborate best are the ones who win.
Right.
True in business. It's true in life, and it's true in sports. It's like, you want to be a great receiver? Well, try to do that without a great quarterback. You want to score a lot of points? Try to do that without a good point guard. You gotta work as a team to really achieve big things. That's what you learn from sports, and if you carry that into life, you'll find you go a lot further.
Right. Is there a leadership style or philosophy that you've adopted over time? You know, I hear you use the word collaboration, and some people think leadership is very top down, but I'm hearing.
The person at the top needs to make decisions and be accountable, but you have to lead by example.
Right.
I mean, that would be my leadership. You know, I don't expect people to work harder than I work. And if I don't work hard, then I'm setting an example to everybody else that you can be a slacker.
Right.
I want to be the most well-informed one in the conversation. And you know what? I don't do that by not reading and not making the effort to try to keep up on information. And so, you know, if you as the leader set the standard, everybody else will follow. I've seen it work in both directions. I see it around Capitol Square and around politics happen. Where you have leaders that take shortcuts and don't do things the right way. And that becomes the culture. And people think that's the way you do it. And that's a deviation amplifying model. Rather than you want to have a model that is virtue amplification, where you see people do the right things, more people do the right things, and then we're all better off.
Right. Well, you work with a diverse set of stakeholders, right, across the state. How do you manage, you know, what style do you use to work with that diverse set of stakeholders?
Well, you know, you always have to know what you want to accomplish in any situation you're in. Mm-hmm. What is your goal? I mean, how many conversations or meetings have you've been in that just kind of ran aimlessly because no one knew what they were there to actually accomplish?
Right.
Articulate what you want to accomplish. Listen to what the other people are that they want to accomplish and see how you build a bridge. See how you bring people together because a lot of times, we get our disagreements are usually not about the goals. It's about the means for achieving them. A lot of times people have ulterior motives mm-hmm. for why they're recommending a path. That's why you got to know your stuff and you got to know what you're trying to achieve, and have the facts to support the direction you're trying to go.
What does a warrior mean? It means be brave with how I treat connections.
The Brain Gain is a collaborative effort, and we'd like to thank headlining members of the coalition, including Sweeney Chevrolet Buick GMC, the Maransky Companies, and the Mahoney Valley Manufacturers Coalition. Also included are Farmers Bank Group, Youngstown State University, Eastern Gateway Community College, Cortland Bank, MS Consultants, and 898 Marketing.
Has there been a situation in your career from a leadership standpoint where you've perhaps made a mistake? And what key learnings did you take away from that? And how did that...
You mean how many times, right?
right.
Of course we make mistakes. Particularly if you're willing to lead, you're going to make mistakes.
Right.
Every time you do, you try to assess why. You know, where did we go wrong? Usually it's because you didn't get enough people involved in the decision. You had somebody driving the decision that wanted to isolate you from the information you really needed to make the decision. Those are all factors. It's usually from not getting enough information, not listening well enough, acting with haste. And there's always that fine line is because you want to be decisive, but you wanted to be informed and decisive, and trying to find that right balance is always a challenge in leading.
So is it a steady feedback loop, or is there what proportion of feedback do you take? So is there a period of time where this is the listening phase and we're done and we're moving on, or is it a constant set of iterations through decision making?
You know, I try to constantly keep myself informed on things. It's asking good questions. Look, if you want to be successful at something, be really good at asking good questions. Because if you can do that, being informed, something, you don't have to be the keeper of all the knowledge, but you have to be informed enough to ask the right questions and be willing to ask the tough questions, mm-hmm. including questioning yourself or conventional wisdom to mm-hmm. make sure that you're getting things right. Because look, oftentimes in life, particularly in politics, and everything's political, by the way, whether you're a business or in government service, resist the herd mentality. If everybody's doing it, there might be a reason why they're doing it, or maybe they're just doing it because they think that they're supposed to. But be willing to question everything that doesn't make sense to you,
right?
Because if there's a good answer, then you're like, okay, well now I know why we do that. It's a great thing. I encourage my daughters to do that all the time. My youngest daughter asked me a question the other day, and I said, honey, I don't know. Let's go find out. It was a really great question. And so, those are the kinds of things that you need to do in making those decisions.
Right. I mean, instilling, as we educate our children, instilling them, leadership qualities and leadership traits and characteristics, it is that opportunity to basically help them ask the right question. If they ask a question, I ask a question back. And is there a process you use through teaching and working with, say, students or your children specifically?
Well, look, I don't know I have a good answer to that. I mean, it's just being continually curious.
Right.
You just have to be intellectually curious. You have to be curious because it's figuring things out. I mean, there's nothing more rewarding than really figuring out something that's complex. And how do you put the pieces together? If you're not a curious person, it's hard to be a good leader, I think, because that's you have to be great. You can't just do things the same way everybody else does them.
Right. Right.
And then you have to have the communication skills and the intellectual capacity and the facts to bring people along, because one of the things you'll find as a leader is that you come you come to a conclusion before everybody else does. I learned this at a young age when I was Speaker of the House, and I would know more information than everybody else. I'd come to the conclusion earlier, and then I'd say, well, let's go do this. And people would be like, well, why would we do that? And then I realized, well, they don't have the same information that I
right.
do. And if they don't have the same information that I do, then they're not going to come to the same conclusion that I do. So I had to be patient sharing that information and bringing people along before they would buy into where I wanted to go.
Right. Now, that's great advice. And especially, tell my son all the time, I'm not a mind reader. we have to communicate and articulate exactly what we're trying to accomplish here together.
Yeah. Husbands and wives could use that advice a lot. You know, we're not mind readers. We have to talk to each other about it.
Exactly. So let's shift gears. That could be a dangerous topic. So we'll shift gears here and let's talk about workforce development specifically. So we're coming to you from Youngstown, Ohio, the Mahoning Valley. We have tremendous potential. A great iconic market in Youngstown. And from your perspective in Columbus, and specifically speaking to the Innovate Ohio program or the Tech Cred program, what do you see our opportunities are to develop our economy and also to develop our leadership skills?
Yeah, you know, these are always tough questions for outsiders to dip their toe in, right? Because everybody knows what the situation is on the ground in a community. And when you're an outsider telling somebody what to do, they're like, well, you know, what do you know? You don't live here. But I found that both perspectives are important. Sometimes we're too close to the problem to really know what it is. The first thing to be successful is that you have to believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. So in the Mahoning Valley has to believe in itself. It has to support its leaders when they find good ones. Don't try to undermine them. Support them. And good leaders will be inclusive and bring other people into that process and help move along. You know, what are you already good at? How do you leverage that? Mm-hmm. And then how do you build from that? What's the potential right now in the Mahoning Valley as I see it? Well, hey, there's some interesting things going on with electric vehicles there.
Right.
A new battery plant coming in with LG Chem and GM, Lordstown Motors, which is potential for an electric truck and more. I know that when I was up there, I don't know, a month or so ago at Lordstown Motors, it was, you know, the description Voltage Valley was being used.
That's a hashtag I hit constantly. And it's fine.
Which I liked. I mentioned it because I liked it. And because that's, you know, branding itself, you have to summarize what you're about, right? You should be able to quickly tell people what you're about. We're about innovation. We're Voltage Valley. We get to go through the things and then what are the factors that are going to be important to making that occur? Are the right kind of educational opportunities available? Is the right type of infrastructure and pipeline of all of the things that you need in place to support that growth? Because you could say, you know, let's just say that things go well. Lordstown Motors goes well. The LG Chem GM battery plant goes well. And they talk about expanding. And they say, well, but the Valley doesn't have enough of this or that. You know, what are those things that your institutions, because you got to support entrepreneurs,
right?
They are the difference makers in terms of economic development. We can talk about all the government assistance that you want and what government can do. Government creates a great environment. It can create talent. It can be an encourager. It can do all kinds of things. And it can also be a discourager too. Right. Mm-hmm. By, you know, trying to kill the goose that laid the golden egg, which I've seen communities do many times. Mm-hmm. But in the end, you got to have business people, because let's face it, if the GM plant, if that was a locally owned headquartered company that had that facility, that wouldn't have closed. If it was a local entrepreneur that built the place, it'd still be there.
Right.
In its previous form. But when you have outsiders, when you depend on outsiders for mm-hmm. all of your economic activity that just put plants there, but their headquarters is off somewhere else, you don't have a lot of control over that destiny. So those local entrepreneurs, local investors, people that are part of the fabric of the community, and then your institutions support them, that's where the opportunity to go big is.
Right. I mean, we're much better off perhaps with 1,020 person companies than we are waiting for a Fortune 500 company to come in and drop their headquarters, pull out of the coasts and come in. You know, Youngstown may be the loading dock to the Midwest, and we are securing a lot of transportation and logistics business. But you're right, the spirit and culture of entrepreneurship is something, and here's a question I have for you, something that we have to encourage. But we have a proud legacy of being, you know, grit, bootstrap oriented, but our leaders love to fly below the radar. So our best business people hide their success. They do. You could see someone who, you know, she or he could be filthy walking out of a, you know, machine shop, and they're going to get in to their Ferrari. they won't drive it in front of anyone, you know, God forbid. But what would you say to those business leaders that are proud about hiding their success? And you don't have to be flashy, but still, I think you do have to encourage that business.
Well, you got to ask the question about why they feel the need to do that. Now, I know that there are some people who are just shy away from things. They're introverts. They just want to do their business and fly below the radar screen because publicity has no value to them.
Right.
But I've seen this, and I'm not suggesting that this is the case in the Valley, because I don't know enough about people that you're talking about. But a lot of times business people do that because there's no reward for them standing up, because when you stand up, people just try to chop your legs out from underneath.
Right. True.
And so why would you make yourself a target?
Right.
And that's what a lot of people feel, and why that they don't stand up, particularly, you know, they're flamboyant leaders, but you know, the Midwest, we're kind of a humble group of people. We don't like to draw a lot of attention to ourselves. And it's always better when somebody else pats you on the back than if you're patting yourself on the back.
Exactly.
So maybe we have to think of some innovative ways to help highlight people, to elevate them into a leadership, more high profile role without them having to do it for themselves.
Right. No, that's great advice. Completely agree from that standpoint. So to close up our interview, we'd love for you to share what any books that have influenced you or your leadership style, anything you'd like to share?
Oh gosh. Well, I'll go through a few of them. Look, I would start with Dale Carnegie's, how to win friends and influence people.
Right.
I know it's an old book, but that's like 101 for you in life about how to get along with others. Faith is very important in my life. If you really focus on the teachings that are in the Bible on love your neighbor and be your brother's keeper, it's about, you know, how you support each other. And then I love to read biographies of people, whether it's from Winston Churchill or George Washington or Abraham Lincoln or Teddy Roosevelt or Franklin Roosevelt. Because I'm somebody that, like, because every leader was successful for a different reason, right? There's no one, because you have to be who you are and you have to adapt that to the times and figure out how to exploit your strengths and also bolster your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
I read a biography of Ben Franklin one time, and Ben Franklin, you know, he had his like 12 rights or wrongs that you're supposed to do. And he asked somebody to critique it. And he said, well, I noticed you didn't put anything in there about humility. And Franklin said, well, I've never been really good at that one, but I found if you fake it, it has the same effect. And it was Franklin basically admitting that I'm not a humble man, but I understand that I need to be a little more humble in how I conduct myself. And so, reading about what other successful people have done in life, you know, those bios, I think biographies are always super helpful.
Great. Well, this has been very helpful, educational, informative, Lieutenant Governor. Any advice you could offer to the residents of the Mahoning Valley or to the audience here listening to the Brain Gain Youngstown Leadership Podcast? Anything we can do to help you?
Yeah, you know, dream big, but make sure your dreams are based on reality. Because, you know, you have to ultimately in economic development, it has to add up. It's math. You know, businesses have to succeed. But know where you want to go, build the foundation to get it done, believe in yourself, and know that's not going to be easy, and that's okay. Cause nothing worthwhile is ever easy. The reward is the success and the sense of pride that you feel knowing how hard you work to achieve it.
Absolutely. The journey.
It's always the journey.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we thank you for your time today. We greatly appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we go, I'd like to thank members of the Brain Gain Coalition, especially our great sponsors. Without them, none of this would be possible. So a big thank you goes to Sweeney, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, the Maransky Companies, and the Mahoning Valley Manufacturers Coalition. Thanks so much for their support. And also, please follow, like, and subscribe to this series on your favorite podcast player. And if you have any questions, just go ahead and connect with me on LinkedIn, one of my favorite places. You can find me over there at Jeff Leo Herman. And send me a message. I will see you next time. I'm growing up in this life, and to the human that I need to be, I know that I am not alone.